The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
All right, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. And if you're betting college football bowl games, and that can be a dicey endeavor, we're the podcast for you. We're releasing breakdowns for every matchup with new episodes dropping almost every day. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into Sports Talk here on this Wednesday, December the 11th. And we haven't seen the Pelicans play a game since it was Sunday. Sunday in San Antonio, but tomorrow night they'll be back in action against Sacramento, helping us break it all down. One of our favorites, NBA writers, Ollie Cosell, joining us now. How you doing today, Ollie?
Hey, Steve, I'm doing well. And you're right. It's fun that they've had a break because they needed it, right?
Oh, for sure. And unfortunately, obviously, we haven't gotten any new injury updates on a Zion Williamson or a Brandon Ingram. Obviously, they're going to be out a little bit longer. But I did see at practice today, at least Jordan Hawkins was speaking. So is that a positive sign? He could be close to returning. I know he won't be back tomorrow.
Yeah, he's actually, even though we spoke to him, he's still kind of iffy.
Okay.
Right? He's got a specific back issue that has to deal with. It's called an annular fissure. And what that is basically his back pain originates from his vertebrae actually cracking on the inside, right? So that's not a good thing, right? It can lead to disc degeneration and all sorts of problems. So not sure how it happened, but he told us he's always had back problems in his life. And it sounds like it's not just from falling and hitting your back, right, on the ground or anything like that. So he says he's still feeling a little bit of pain. So I think he's still going to be out, you know, for the foreseeable future, maybe for at least a couple of weeks, I'm thinking.
Definitely unfortunate news for the Hawk. Seeing some of the trade rumors going around, obviously a bunch going with the New Orleans Pelicans listed. Saw one obviously listed CJ McCollum and even a Herb Jones as teams calling and inquiring about them. And I got to tell you, between me, Cullen, and Charlie here, we're all ready to hang up on the phone whoever's calling for Herb.
Herb Jones is not going to get traded. Yeah, of course.
Amen
if you're
to
another
that.
Team. Right, Steve? I mean, look, the Pelicans, he was asked around before the trade deadline over the summer by other teams last season and even in a prior season, too. So teams obviously know he's stellar, right, defensively. He's worth his weight in gold, and especially on the contract he's on, right? I mean, he's making, what, I think $12 million or so for the next, 2 to 3 years, right, 2.5 more years. But he's a steal at that price. And so no wonder teams are calm. But again, Pelicans are not going to trade him. They're not going into any kind of rebound. And even Brandon Ingram put it best. He's the heart and soul. There's just no way they're going to give up Herb Jones.
Looking at the rumors around CJ McCollum, that one seems to make a little more sense for a team that thinks they're going to be a playoff contender or a title contender to add that kind of veteran piece to their roster. But I don't know. Would he want to leave New Orleans?
Yeah, so obviously Brandon Ingram's been in the trade rumors since going back this summer, and he's going to continue to stay in them. But yeah, CJ McCollum, he's the interesting one. And he was the one that I posited this last summer that the Pelicans might trade and instead keep Brandon Ingram by signing him to an extension. So far, that's still on the table. And if you look, the market is so depressed for Brandon right now, and his market value is dropping, that I think the Pelicans have a decent chance of re-signing him if they end up being the highest bidder. Right. And there's a good chance of that happening because most teams this summer are not going to have the cap space or even create enough space where they can do a sign and trade with the Pelicans to bring him in. So that kind of leaves CJ McCollum. Right. I mean, they're going to have to deal somebody. We know that they're going to lose salaries one way or another because currently the Pelicans are in a tax. So C.J. McCollum makes just about as sense as really anybody on the roster.
So,
and you're right, he's, what, 33, got a year and a half left, so this year and next season. The problem is, it's his salary, Steve.
Yeah.
He's making $33 million this year, $33 million next year. So contenders, they're either in the first apron, or let's say most contenders, they're in the first apron and the second apron, so trading for him is really hard to downright, flat out impossible, by the way the rules and this new CBA is structured. So I'm curious, will some team meet the asking price? I'm not sure, right? Be able to meet, I should say, those rules and skirt around that CBA and make a deal and offer the Pelicans something in return. Because say what, they're probably happy keeping him, right? I think there's a reason why this team still hasn't gone off the rails, right? The locker room and such from what we've been hearing. And it's because of veterans like C.J. McCollum, right? They haven't given up on the season. DeJounte Murray, those types. So I know that David Griffin would like to probably keep that type of presence, but push come to shove, if they need to deal somebody, yeah, I think CJ might be the one to go because he's making a little bit less than BI, and of course you don't have to re-sign him, right? He's still got, like I said, a contract for next year. So where BI, you've got to worry about a next contract. And I know that's scaring a lot of teams right now.
Well, what scares me is Brandon Ingram changing and now being with Clutch Sports, but you still think there's a chance he could stay here and be extended?
Yeah, here's the thing. I think he switched agencies based on what I've been hearing because it's kind of a Hail Mary for him. Pelicans offered him an extension a couple summers ago, right? Right before he went to the World Cup and had that awful showing. And, of course, last season was his worst season here in the New Orleans Pelicans uniform. So ever since that time, he's just been kind of, you know, like I said, playing worse, therefore decreasing his market value and hurting himself. So a couple of years ago, I heard he was offered close to the max money, right? So something along the lines of $50 million per season. Turned it down. Probably at the time, he wanted max money, right? I remember him saying he thinks of him as an all-NBA type of player, and that's kind of the season he was going for. But obviously, he didn't make it, didn't even average 21 points per game. Then this last offseason, I heard the Pelicans again offered him extension money, basically making a little bit more money than what he is now. So factoring inflation, he would roughly be on the same contract he is on this current one in terms of making the same amount of money. Again, he turned that down. So like I said, I've got a feeling that, again, he's probably been talking to the Pelicans front office and the offers keep dropping. So he's not happy, changed representation. Now we know there's nobody that plays more hardball than Rich Paul, right? Clutch Sports. He's the one that forced Anthony Davis to the Los Angeles Lakers. Now, I don't foresee anything similar, right, regarding Brandon Ingram, because first of all, there's no market for him. I know Shams called it a robust market.
Right.
But that's simply just not true. Right, guys? So I don't know how that situation is going to play out. But the reason why I think the Pelicans might re-sign him, because like I said, if you can get him for, say, maybe $25 to $30 million per season, at least for a couple of years, it probably makes sense because he's a quality player, right? And that's a tradable contract. That's where other teams don't even have that much money to give him right now.
Ollie, I want to ask two questions. I'll start with the first one that's on my mind. DeJounte Murray, do you believe he is finally starting to come into his own? The team has 25 games under the belt. He only has 8. But have you seen the improvement in the last couple of games? I have. I want to know if you agree, if you disagree. And if so, like, you know, is he on the right track to being the – he doesn't need to be the point scorer, but he does want to. And he said this. He wants to be the facilitator. He wants the offense to kind of run through him. He wants to set people up to do the things that they do best, hopefully with B.I. and Zion. We haven't seen the big three yet. Hopefully we will. But he's starting to come into his own as this leader, as this kind of setting pace for the whole team.
Oh, without a doubt. Look, over the last 4 games, Pelicans are averaging over, I want to say, about 116 points per game. They're shooting more than 38 three-point shots per game. Right? These are all the things that they wanted to do all season, but they really weren't able to. But now they've suddenly flipped the switch. And even with Brandon Ingram going down, you still see him getting up the threes. They're still scoring points. So that's something, like I said, they weren't doing when they were hurt. But because DeJounte's back, there's much greater pace. You look, they're getting out in the fast break. And that's the thing with this team. It's built to run, right? I mean, you look at it. There's no monsters out there, right? No traditional centers and such. And they're kind of on the smallest stature, right? So they have to run, right, to get an advantage. So I'm seeing DeJounte doing just that. So that's what gives you hope, right? You're kind of seeing the way they want to play. Now you're going to see, which we've seen, right? Trey Murphy's now shooting and making more threes. Jay McCollum seemingly hasn't had a hiccup since he's come back. And, of course, the other guys, right? It seems like they're in better flows. You've got some games where Jeremiah Robinson Earl hits a couple threes. Another time or another game, it's somebody else, right? And I think it all has to do with just having a legitimate point guard out there in DeJounte who can really do it all, right? He can defend, get you a couple steals. I mean, he's averaging, what, two and a half steals per game. And then, of course, the assists. Yeah, it's the playmaking. That's why he was brought here to New Orleans, and he's definitely doing it.
You took the words out of my mouth. I was looking at the points. If this Spurs game that we had on Sunday, yes, we lost, you know, 5 points, 116 to 121. It was a nail biter. We went on a hell of a run come late, couldn't close it out. But I was very impressed from everybody across the board. Misi put up 18. Herb Jones put up 12. McCollum, 19. Murray, 18. Murphy, 25. Brandon Boston Jr., 17 off the bench. Everybody had a role. And I don't want to entirely attribute that to Murray kind of showing up and lifting everybody up. But this team across the board is finally starting to put things together.
Yeah, they are. I mean, if you look, they had a winnable game after that blowout, right, in New York, had a winnable game in Atlanta, right, but couldn't really finish things strongly. Beat a Phoenix Suns team that came in playing hot. OKC Thunder, yeah, first half was bad, but they finished that game strongly. Good second half. And then you're right, it was a really good effort against the Spurs to where, you know, they were, what, down 10, went on a 13-0 run, something along those lines, grab a lead, but that last minute just didn't go their way. And that's the biggest reason. It's because DeJounte's back, because these guys finally have kind of an on-the-court leader. And that was the issue last year, right? I mean, Brandon Ingram, Zion, when they did play, they still weren't able to really just, you know, run an offense like a Luka Doncic, like some of these other stalwarts around the league. And CJ McCollum, as we've seen, right, he's just not a point guard. So DeJounte Murray made all the sense. That's why they had to let go of Dyson Daniels. But I think he's here for the long haul, and I think Pelicans fans, they're going to love him. I love the way he talks. He just has ownership of everything, right, that goes good or bad. And that's something that I think he can pass along, right, to especially Zion Williamson if he ends up staying here in New Orleans for the longer haul too.
Yeah, it's something about the way Murray speaks. He kind of sucks you in, and you keep on wanting to listen to what he's saying. Definitely like the fact the team's gotten a break to rest up, heal, whatever you want to say. But I'm definitely missing some Pels basketball. Anxious to see them in action tomorrow night, hosting a Sacramento team, Kings team, that's got me scratching my head. I know they've, you know, kind of heated up a little bit, won three of their last four, two in a row. But they can put up points. But what's been their issue this year, Ali? I know they're 12-13 right now. And I thought they'd be a lot better this season.
Yeah, I think a lot of people did. But the thing is, their offense isn't as flying as high as it was the previous year and a half. And when you add a DeMar DeRozan, right, that's kind of going to slow you down because he likes to have the ball in his hands, doesn't shoot threes, gets to the free throw line. So, again, that's all these things that will slow a game down. And I honestly wondered about that move that they made in bringing him in over the summer because De'Aaron Fox likes to play hot. Sabonis, he likes to be the facilitator at the top of the key where he finds the shooters, right? A Malik Monk cutting here, Kevin Huerter going the other way and such. And it's also kind of minimized Keegan Murray. So I think their team honestly kind of stayed in flux trying to figure out who they are because they've never been a good defensive team. And if they're not going to be one of the top, you know, 3 to 5 offenses, which you're not anymore, well, that's why I think you see a media record or a record from them now. And I don't know if that's going to change until they make a personnel move.
Ali, always appreciate your time. Thank you, and hopefully we get one in the Smoothie King Center tomorrow night.
Yes, Steve. Hey, look, if there's something to look forward to, it's the fact that the Pelicans owned the Kings last year, right? Faced them 6 times, won a perfect 6-0.
Let's make it 6-0, baby.
I hear you.
Thanks, Ali. Appreciate it. That was Ali Cosell, credentialed NBA writer who covers the Pelicans. Action in the Smoothie King Center tomorrow night. 6:30 pregame coverage, 7 o'clock tip-off right here on WWL 870 AM.